WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Let's get back to our conversation with Alfred Brophy, the law professor who wrote the report for the Tulsa Race Riot Commission. The commission was created by the Oklahoma State Legislature. The report, which was given to the legislature earlier this month, describes what happened during the 1921 riot and recommends that reparations be given to the survivors. There are an estimated 60 to 70 people who would be eligible. A lot of your historical information comes from an interesting source. It was a lawsuit against an insurance company. The suit was filed by a man who is believed to be Native American, whose last name was Redfern. He lost a theater and a hotel in the riot, and his insurance company wouldn't compensate him for his losses, so he sued the company. Tell us a little bit more about this lawsuit and its relevance to the question of reparations.
Redfern was trying to recover on his insurance policy, and his insurance company said, as long as the property was burned during a riot, we're not liable because there's a riot exclusion clause. Redfern relied on some other state's precedent to show that if the police burned the property as part of putting down the riot exclusion clause wouldn't let the insurance company out from liability, that in fact it was if it's burned as part of official action, the riot exclusion clause doesn't apply. He then used this as an opportunity to develop evidence that, in fact, the special police officers had done much of the burning. And his extensive testimony from Greenwood residents that the people who were doing the burning were wearing police badges. The Oklahoma Supreme Court ultimately construes the riot exclusion clause broadly and says, look, even if these special officers were doing the burning, that wasn't part of their official action. And therefore, it's sort of part of the general riot, and Redfern ends up not recovering. But it's
That's interesting, because even though he doesn't recover, basically the precedent is, the ruling is, that the deputies were responsible for a lot of what happened in the riot.
It's a wonderful opinion. And it's particularly important when you think this isn't some socialist Columbia history professor or W.E.B. Du Bois who's writing this. This is the Supreme Court in 1920, the Oklahoma Supreme Court in the 1920s, not known for its enlightened attitudes towards race.
Any other reasons why you're recommending that reparations be given to the survivors of the riot?
I think that there's sort of four reasons counseling in favor of reparations. First is the culpability of the city and, to a lesser extent, the state. The second is that there's still a living connection. The riot, I understand, was a long time ago. We are further from the riot today than the riot was from the days of Civil War. And yet there are still about 60 people who were victims of the riot and are still alive. I think that human connection is fundamentally important. There's another reason, though. We're asking for reparations not to correct some general societal discrimination. This was a very discrete harm concentrated in time and place. This isn't general societal discrimination. It is a very concrete harm. And the fourth reason I think is important is Tulsans at the time promised to make reparations. The chair of the Reconstruction Committee said Tulsa can only redeem herself from countrywide shame and humiliation by complete restitution and rehabilitation of the Black Belt. Tulsa weeps at this unspeakable crime and will make good the damage so far as can be done to the last penny.
A promise not kept.
Not at all.
So if the state legislature agrees with the commission report and decides to give reparations, what standards are you recommending be used to decide who gets the reparations and how much money those individuals get?
That'll be a very interesting question. Actually, what's in front of the legislature right now is a bill to extend the life of the commission. The first thing we need to, I think, focus on is completing the historical report. And then once the legislature decides either to extend the life of the commission or just to move immediately to its recommendations. At the point at which they're deciding on actual reparations, I think that we have a couple of models we can look to. I suggested we look to the Civil Rights Act of 1988, which gives compensation to Japanese Americans interned during World War II. And there, they required, in order for survivors to be able to recover, they required that you be alive at the time, that is in 1988. And then it was just a lump sum payment to each survivor. And I think that makes a lot of sense in this case. Rather than trying to go back and figure out value of property lost and things that at this point are very, very difficult to do, I think it would make sense to just sort of come up with a lump sum figure for each now living survivor. And this could be done actually relatively at a relatively modest cost. You figure there are approximately 60 survivors and give each of them $20,000, which is the precedent the Civil Rights Act of 1988 gave. That's less than $1.5 million. It's a very modest sum of money.
Why compensate survivors but not compensate the sons and daughters of survivors who might have inherited property but couldn't because it was destroyed?
That's an excellent question. Part of that, the answer, I think, turns on being able to prove with specificity damages. And also part of it turns on the idea that rather than going back and trying to right every wrong that the government has perpetrated, we want to focus on ones where we can identify some sort of still living human connection. I think something where we're giving compensation to people who are still alive will actually have a substantial amount of support.
My guest is Alfred Brophy, author of the Tulsa Race Riot Commission report, which recommends reparations for survivors of the 1921 riot. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. If you're just joining us, my guest is Alfred Brophy. He's a professor of law at Oklahoma City University, and he wrote the report, Reconstructing the Dreamland, Contemplating Civil Rights Actions and Reparations for the Tulsa Race Riot of 1921. This is a report that was commissioned by the state legislature in Oklahoma, and the commission is recommending that reparations be given to the black survivors of this race riot. There was a conference recently in Arkansas looking at a 1919 racial attack there in which about 200 African Americans were killed. Do you think that this is going to be happening all over now, that states will be looking at race riots of the past and trying to determine
what happened?
If there should be reparations? Yeah.
Absolutely. The Elaine, Arkansas 1919 riot was a terrible riot. And after that there were about 8 black men who were essentially railroaded into death sentences. And it actually became a very famous U.S. Supreme Court case. Justice Holmes talks about how people were swept away, judge, jury, prosecutor, public, swept away in a wave of public passion. That public passion swept across Tulsa in 1921 and a great many other small towns in Oklahoma, and other places throughout the United States. And I think this is an important, even if the Oklahoma legislature decides to never give reparations, we have succeeded a great deal in just bringing back into the public consciousness important pieces of our history.
Now, I know that some groups are concerned that if Oklahoma gives reparations to the race riot survivors, then every group that thinks it's been wronged will be asking for reparations. Are you concerned about that?
I'm not. I think there are some very important limiting principles related to the Tulsa riot that suggest there won't be claims to right every single wrong in the past, only ones that are truly egregious across a large spectrum, and where we have some possibility of actually making things better.
Do you think that the Tulsa race riot in your commission's report comes into play at all in the question of should there be reparations for African Americans whose ancestors were enslaved in America?
I think that Tulsa could be the sort of the proving ground for legal and, more importantly, moral arguments about reparations in all sorts of contexts, in international contexts, in the context of slavery as well. I think we're going to hear a great deal more about the case for reparations for slavery in the next few years. Of course, under my sort of limiting principles, Tulsa wouldn't provide much of a precedent for reparations for slavery since, for example, there aren't any currently living survivors of American slavery.
Here's another question that I know some people are asking. Should people today have to pay for the sins of another generation?
That's a very interesting question. Lots of folks in Oklahoma say we shouldn't have to pay for something we are not responsible for. The interesting thing from my perspective is corporate entities have existences that are unrelated to the lives of any individual. Let me give you an example. Mobile Oil Company began polluting the water of Searle, Oklahoma in the late 1940s. And as recently as the mid-1990s, they were responsible for paying for the cleanup of that water. It may very well be that the majority of Mobile shareholders weren't even alive in 1947 when the pollution began, and yet they still had to pay for it. When you think about Tulsa as an entity that had a life, the city of Tulsa has an entity that has a life before and after people who were there, the city itself should have to pay.
Well, Alfred Brophy, I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
It's been my pleasure.
Alfred Brophy is the author of the Tulsa Race Riot Commission report, recommending that reparations be given to the survivors of the 1921 riot, which destroyed the African-American neighborhood known as Greenwood. Brophy is a law professor at Oklahoma City University. The Oklahoma State Legislature has not yet voted on the issue of reparations.